The book of Colossians chapter 3, we continue our study today. The title of the message today is Home Health, and I discovered something. I discovered it this morning. And so you can thank me later. But I realized this morning that if I preached everything that I put in the bulletin that I'm going to preach, you'd quit listening before I quit preaching. So I'm basically going to cover the first point this morning so that we can kind of remain in the time parameters of a normal service. And we're going to make this a two-part message, okay? And we're in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to talk about the family. We're going to talk about husbands, wives, and really a convenient day for me since Beth is absent today. I can say what I want to about husbands and wives, right? And I want to encourage her to watch the recording next week, and we'll just keep it all between us. Amen? Yeah, right. I trust you. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through 4, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? As we read, I remind you, this is the Word of God. If you are to hear from God today, it will be here. Through these pages and these words that He's given us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how we need you today, Lord, that we may understand your word, that we may take in your word, and that we may apply your word. Father, pour out your spirit upon us, that through this reading today and this message, that we may know you better and be made better servants for your honor and for your glory. Father, move in us, change us, mold us, and make us into the servants that you would have called us to be. Father, we love you. And we thank you for the great love that you have shown toward us by giving your Son Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sin, that whoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Lord, we pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're talking about home health, family health. You can look at families today and you think, boy, they're doing good. They're doing well. They've got a nice home, nice cars, good jobs, great kids. And they have their life all together. Do you ever look at anybody that way? You think, you look, boy, you know, I would like to be like them. And they just seem to have everything under control. And then you hear the news. Their family fractures. There's a divorce. Their kids are in trouble, alcohol, drugs, prison. And you back up and you think, I would have never thought that they would turn out like that. I would have never thought that that couple would get a divorce. I would have never thought their life would be like this. Well, you see, the reality is that None of us are immune to the attacks of Satan. None. I'm talking from the pulpit to the pew. You're not too old for Satan to get into your family and ravage your family. You're not too young for Satan to get into your family and ravage your family. That's why this message today is so very important. Today we're going to talk about what we can do to have a healthy, godly home. And we start inside the home. First, I want you to understand that it's not always about what everybody sees, that most often it is what people do not see. What's going on behind closed doors that only you, your family, your wife, your children, and God know. That's where it all starts. So today, let's start. It's always women first, right? Isn't that just good manners? Ladies first? Well, that's the way that Paul wrote this. He said in verse 16, wives, submit to your husband. We're talking about healthy wives. Spiritually healthy wives. Submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That word submit, of course, it means to voluntarily arrange yourself under the authority of your husband. If you read it in the Greek, it says, wives, you submit. And the reason it says in the translation that you is left out, but in the original Greek it says you submit. And the reason it does is because you're the only one that can do this. Your husband can do all he wants and he can preach at you until you're blue in the face. But until you decide, I'm going to honor my husband and I'm going to arrange myself under him, making him the leader in our home, it's not going to happen. Ladies, it's up to you. God is giving us all the formula, and we're not just going to stop with ladies, so don't feel like you're being picked on, please. It's your job to arrange yourself voluntarily under the leadership of the man that God has given you. You say, oh, no way. No, brother. No. No. I'm not going to be his servant. Didn't tell you to be a servant. He said to voluntarily arrange yourself under his leadership. Why? Number one. Why? Because it is healthy for your relationship. Every organization has a head. If you saw somebody walking down the street and they had two heads, what would you think? That's a monster. Something bad is wrong. Well, it's the same way in the husband-wife relationship. God is not telling you to voluntarily arrange yourself under your husband's authority because he thinks you're less of a citizen or because you're worse than he is. We all know, ladies, y'all are better than us. This is where you say amen, guys. We know y'all are better than us. Okay? But God is simply establishing an order to the home. I once counseled a young couple when I was in Corinth, Mississippi. Bless their heart. They were getting married and we went through Ephesians, you know, and talked about husbands and wives and leadership and submission and all that stuff about how God has set up the family to be healthy. And they looked at me and they said, well, you know, he's not actually going to be the head of the home. We're going to do a 50-50 thing. If you're doing a 50-50 thing, it's not going to work. Okay? Got to go all the way, wholeheartedly. You know, jump in with both feet and do it God's way. Why? Because there are times you're going to have to do 100% because that old man you're married to is not pulling his part. But at the same time, men, there'll be time you have to pull the 100% because she's just not putting up with you today. You see, there's no 50-50. There's 100-100. Both husband and wife pouring all they are into the relationship. And any relationship, any organization has to have one head to be healthy. Number two, the reason you voluntarily submit to your husband is because God commands you to do it. And God is always right. Now, I don't care. That's an amen statement. God is always right. I even want the ladies to amen that. God is always right, ladies. And He said, do it. He didn't say it's an option. He said it is fitting, which means proper. It will work. And He's got your best interest in heart. See, that's what we've got to come to grips with as His children, whether men, women, or children for that matter. We've got to understand God really does have your best at heart. He's not trying to mess up your life. He's not trying to mess up your family. He's trying to make your family work. That's why He gave us these directions. Do it because God said to. Number three. Ladies, please listen to this. You do it because your children will only respect your husband as much as you do. You set the example before your children. If you badmouth him and talk bad about your children's father, then they're going to badmouth him and they're going to talk bad about him. And when he tries to lead his children and instruct his children, they're going to say, I don't have to listen to you. Why? Because, you see, they learn that from mom. Number four. The way you treat him will determine what kind of man he is. If you encourage him, he's going to be a man of confidence. He's going to be a man that draws near to the Lord, hopefully. If he's any good, he will. Be his helper, not his critic. You know what I mean? You can offer, and you know, when you voluntarily arrange under, it doesn't mean you lose your voice in the home. It does not. I want to tell you, my best critic is Beth. My best encourager is Beth. I need to hear from her. And there, you know, quite often on Sunday, you know, I'll say, was the message okay? And you know what she's never told me? She's never told you, boy, you blew that one. You were too long-winded. You rambled. She doesn't say that. You know what she does? She says, well, this could have been better if you would... She's an encourager. She doesn't tear me down. Listen, when your husband walks in the door, don't attack him for all the things he's done wrong. Encourage him for the things he's doing right. You say, Brother Doug, my husband's not doing anything right. Then pray for the man. Pray for him. But start finding those things that he's doing well and encourage him. Does he mow the yard? Man, you did a good job. Does he take out the trash? Thank you. You do not understand, ladies, how that makes a man feel. I know anybody could mow my yard. I know that anybody could take out the trash. But when Beth says, the yard looks so good after I've mowed it, I bow up like a banny rooster and say, that's right, I did it. I did. Because it means so much coming from her. She's the love of my life. And of all the people in the world, I want to please her. Okay. Now, I don't always meet that goal. But I dare say your husband is the same way. He needs to hear from you what he's doing right. You be an encourager, not a critic. Okay? Healthy wives will lead to healthy husbands. In verse 20, we're told, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Husbands, love your wives. See, the problem with this statement is men do not understand this word very well. The word love is a God word. It's a godly love. And literally, it's a strong, non-sexual love and affection for a person and for their good. And it's always characterized by a willing forfeiture of personal rights and privileges on their behalf. To put it in our language, it's meeting the needs of your wife regardless of what it costs you, men. Are you sacrificing all that you are to meet her needs? See, that is the big... Wives, if you think submission is a big deal, this is a big deal. The kind of love that we're commanded to have for our wives, it's not a, I like you. It's not even saying, I love you. It's looking at your wife and saying, I will do whatever it takes for you. That's the man requirement. And do not be bitter. You see, a lot of men let this statement go to their head. That's right, I'm the king of my castle. You say that too many times, she just might knock that crown off your head. Rightfully so. You're not the king. You're just placed in a position of responsibility by God. And with responsibility, you know, you're accountable. Do not let your God-given position go to your head. Your wife is not your slave to be commanded. She's your prize to be protected. That's our job. Make her feel like the queen that she truly is. Always be looking for ways and understand this is like the pot calling the kettle black. Because when I preach a message like this, I have to go... Doug, you're not doing very good. I'm not. But guys, you're to love your wife above everything else and everyone else. Okay? And it's your responsibility that she knows you'll do whatever it takes to take care of her. Bar none. Bar none. And I want to tell you something else, guys. If you will not love your wife and place her above everything and everyone, your children will not honor their mother. Why? Because you're setting the example. You see, that's what most husbands and wives don't understand. It's not just about you. It's about the kids that are raising, and they're watching how their dad treats their mom. They're watching how their mom treats their dad. And what they see is what they will display in their lives. You know, before I was married, I got married in the day they didn't do marriage counseling. The example, all I knew about marriage was what I saw from my daddy and my mom. See it? Now, thank the Lord, they were a good example. They didn't do everything right. But I don't do everything right. But they stood the storms of life. And they loved one another. Amen. Till the end. Yeah. And so, because of that, that stuck with me. And guys, that's the kind of love we've got to have. We need to just stop and consider. When's the last time, guys, you did something for your wife? Bought her flowers? Bought her a gift card? Bought her a card? Just said, I just want you to know I love you. When's the last time you done that? Why? Why has that been so long? Is she not the most men? Is she not the most important lady in your life? Let her know it. Let her know it. That's your responsibility. And you know, if we will love our wives like we're supposed to, our wives will not have such a problem arranging themselves under our leadership, men. Okay? Want to be healthy? We got to love them. We go on. And we talk about healthy children. Oh, this is the good part. Now we quit nosing around in everybody's marriage. And let's talk about the kids. Amen? Children, obey your parents. If you want to. No. Obey your parents in all. You know what that word all means? It means all. It means there's no exceptions. When your mom says, make your bed, make your bed. That's the all. When your dad says, don't you go there, don't go there. That's the all. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That word obey means to yield, submit, obey. Do what they tell you to do. Listen to them. Now I want the attention of every child at this point, okay? Every child that's living under the roof of your mom and dad, I want you to listen. Right? Because I thought all week, how can I say this in a way that children will hear it and take it to heart? And I don't know that I can do that, but I can stand up and say, children, if your eyes are not on me, if you're not paying attention, if you're on your cell phone, at this point in the service, I will call you out. Okay? Usually I overlook that stuff. I'm not going to overlook it at this part. If you're old enough to listen, you're old enough to be accountable from this part forward. We're told, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That word honor, it means to ascribe value to. You will not obey your parents until you first ascribe value to your parents. Meaning, they're an asset in your life. You need your parents. Understand how valuable they are. We're talking about an appreciation. Have an appreciation for what your mom and dad do. The reason, number one, value their provision. Value what they do for you. Okay? They provide. Listen, they provide clothes. They provide a home, a warm, dry place to stay. They provide food. They provide even beyond that. Sometimes they provide cars and cell phones. Do you have any idea what a cell phone costs? Oh, brother, it's just $10 a month. Yeah, right. Go pick up the AT&T bill. See what that $10 turns into. They provide so much. You say, Brother Doug, that's their job. True. It is their job. It's their God-given responsibility to take care of you. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of parents out there who do not. There are a lot of deadbeat dads who are not at home. There are a lot of drug addict moms who do not care about their children. And if your mom and dad care enough about you to spend time and providing for your needs, then you need to just back up and be appreciative and quit whining and complaining in their ear every day and just say, Mom and Dad, I love you and I need you. You see, something happened. You were so sweet when you were little. Something happened when you became a teenager. You forgot to say, I love you. You forgot to say, thank you. You forgot to say, Mom, I appreciate what you do for me. Listen, value their provision. Do you know what they could do if they didn't have to spend all that money on you? They could go to Hawaii. They could take a cruise. They could buy, most parents could buy the biggest and best car they could find in Russellville. But instead, they love you. And they choose to spend money on you. You think that's not a big deal? Go to the grocery store with them and see the grocery bill. It is a big deal. Children, are you listening? It's where you say, amen. It's okay. Children, say amen. Amen, okay. See, that's about as good as you get out of teen, right? Value their provision. Be appreciative. They choose to provide for you because they love you. Appreciate it. Number two. Value their experience. Now, do I still have everybody's attention? Let me look up in the balcony, make sure there are nobody's on their cell phone, nobody down here on their cell phone. All children know this. Your parents are smarter than you are. Amen. They can't do computers. They can't program remote controls and TVs and do all that technical stuff. But I want to tell you something. They know what's good and bad. And the reason they tell you no is because they don't want you to go down the wrong road. They know how it's going to turn out. They know because they made a lot of mistakes when they were young. And they don't want you to make the same mistakes. They want you to avoid that pain and that suffering. They're not trying to keep you from having a good time. They're trying to keep you from killing yourself and ruining your life. They love you so much that they're willing to share their expertise and experience with you. Don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to your buddies. Well, you know, I've got friends and we... No. You don't take advice from a broke man. You do not take financial advice from a broke man, right? You do not take life advice from another teenager. Why? Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He has not been there. Okay? Listen to your mom and dad. Appreciate their guidance and their experience. Number three, value their love. They love you. Moms and dads, don't you love them? They love you. They love you with a godly love. I don't know why, but they do. They changed your diaper when you were a baby. If you've ever changed a diaper, you know you got to love before you change a diaper, right? They spoon-fed you when you were unable to feed yourself. They've paid for everything along the way. And I'm going to tell you something, kids. When you're hurting, they're hurting. When you're upset, they're upset. When you're happy, they're happy. Why? Because they love you. Value their love. You will not appreciate the love of your parents till you don't have it. I'll leave that one there. If you're going to be a healthy child, if you're going to be right with God, you're going to have to honor and obey your parents. Do not pretend like you're right with God if you are openly living in disobedience to your parents. You say things are right with God, you're lying. They're not. Says this is pleasing to the Lord. Then finally, fathers. We want to be healthy fathers. Verse 21 in the text said, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. That word provoke, it means to make resentful or to embitter. The idea is that we as fathers don't be so hard on your children that they think they just can't please you no matter what they do. That they'll never measure up to your high standards, no matter how hard they try. Now listen, I'm not saying when they make bad decisions that you're not to correct them. You are. That's part of parenting. But don't be so nitpicky that if they make an A minus, you know, and they're trying, they didn't make an A, so you're going to ground them for it. No, come on. Come on. Don't put them in that point where they think they can never please you. And here's why. Dads, the way they view you is the way they will view our Heavenly Father. Okay? You see, the father-child relationship is the only example that they're going to have of the spiritual father-child relationship between them and God. He is our Heavenly Father. Guys, this is a big responsibility here. Your position as a father reflects who God is. And so therefore, your standard as a father, you should want to father your children the way your Heavenly Father fathers you. Think about that one. How do your children see you, dads? Do they see you in a manner that they love you so much they're drawn to you? If not, why not? You see, if they see you as someone whom they can never do anything right, they'll grow up and they'll be legalist, always striving for that mark of doing more and more and thinking God's not going to be pleased with me until I get all this done. And God's not that way. We're accepted through the blood of Jesus Christ. If they see a father who does not care, as they go through the battles of life, they're going to back up and say, God, why is this happening to me? Obviously, you don't care for me anymore. I've seen people do it. Because that's what they've seen from their father. If they see a father who's never around, an absentee father, then they'll think that, well, there's a God, but He doesn't care and He's not around. He doesn't hear me when I pray. Listen, does God have time for you when you're in need? The answer is yes. Does God answer your prayers? The answer is yes. Did God sacrifice His most treasured possession so that you could have eternal life? That being Jesus, His Son? The answer is yes. Do you see the love of a Heavenly Father? Absolutely. Does your Father love you enough that when you're making bad decisions, He says, whoa, pat you on the backside and get you back right again? See, that's the loving Father that we serve. Sometimes we talk about God taking us to the woodshed, and He does. But we leave out the part of how much love it takes for God to take us to the woodshed. Amen. That He actually cares. That He corrects because He loves us. And that's what the Bible says. He chastens those whom He loves. Everything about God says, I love you. Fathers, everything about you has to say to your children, I love you. Now, you may not always be popular. They may not always like what you're doing and the way you're correcting them. I'm not saying you got to make them happy all the time. I'm saying you got to love them like God loves you. Because the bottom line is, that God does have your best interest at heart. Amen? That's your requirement, fathers. And you know, if we as fathers love our wives, raise our children, and father our children in this manner, you'll be amazed at the turn that will take place in our society. You want to know what's wrong with our society? What's wrong with our society? Why we're having school shootings and crime the way it is and drugs running rampant is because the homes are falling apart. Amen. We got to get the home back. Now today you may say, Brother Doug, I've made so many mistakes. I've done so much wrong. Brother Doug, I've blown it as a parent. Listen, you haven't blown it yet. One thing I have discovered is we all mess up. I don't remember who said, a preacher one time, but he made the statement that I thought, wow, such wisdom. He said, every generation has been scarred by the generation before. He's talking about parents. So as you look at the mistakes you've made, and you may think, boy, I scarred the child. Well, maybe you did, but you've done nothing the rest of us haven't already done too. We all make mistakes. The good and glorious news is that God loves us still in spite of our mistakes. And I want to tell you, you cannot go back and change what happened last week, last month, and last year. But you can change what's going on from this day forward.
Amen.
Okay? Be the wife that God has called you to be. Be the husband that God has called you to be. Be the child that God has called you to be. Be the father that God has called you to be. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to have a foundation to build any building. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? If not, I want you to understand this, that God loved you so much. John 3:16, He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved you. You may say, Brother Doug, I'm not worthy. You're right, you're not. Neither am I or anyone here. But God loved you so much, Jesus died for you. Let's lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life today. Will you call upon Him and make Him your Savior, confessing to Him your sins, confessing that you know that He is the Son of God, who died for you, rose from the grave, and today seated at the right hand of the Father. Will you confess that today? This invitation is for you. If you need to be saved, will you come? Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. Maybe Satan's attacking your family. I want to tell you, the most powerful thing that we have against the attacks of Satan is prayer. Amen. You can't defeat him on your own. It's a supernatural battle, and you've got to have supernatural power. Supernatural power comes on your knees. The altar's open for you. Maybe you're here. You need to become a member. The Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and make this church family the church that your family is serving with. Don't put it off. You do what God calls you to do. Let's let Jesus have His way. And let's build our homes on the strong foundation once again of God's Word and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your Word that tells us how to have healthy homes. Lord, oftentimes we know we make mistakes as husbands, wives, parents, children. But You are a loving and forgiving God. And that if we'll confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, I pray now in this invitation that You will move. And that You will draw all men to You. That Your will be done. And we would respond to Your leading. In Jesus' name I pray.